Yeah, since the weather changed. And
no, my bark died.
It died?
You didn't know? Yeah.
Oh.
It had a terrible collapse in life.
What happened?
I snapped my frame.
Oh, I did hear about this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, old bike.
Old
Butte, no more.
How many years?
I mean, she was like a 79, 80 bike, something like that.
Well, I mean, that you've had it for, I guess, would be the better question.
I mean, in my possession, it's probably about 5.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a long tenure, yeah. Chico.
Yeah. I've been meaning to swap over to another frame, but like, I don't know. I just don't have all the right tools for it right now. So I got to maybe take a trip down to some places, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it just, like, even with the weather change, like right now, today would have been a nice day for a ride.
That's for sure.
It would have been nice and crispy, but you bundle up. You maybe toke up.
Yeah.
Get some good tunes. Yeah. Maybe get good podcasts and just get lost.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a bike ride to clear the mind.
No, 100%. Once the stupid daylight saving time took effect, it killed my bike riding because that was my ritual when I would get off work Monday through Thursday, get on the bike, go for about an hour-long ride, hit about 10 miles in that hour, and it's just a great way to decompress from the day. And it was great before the show, got to organize my thoughts. It wasn't like, boom, work, straight to the show. It was like a little separation, and now that daylight saving is taking effect, bike no mo.
I bike no mo.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm sorry.
I got to get it fixed.
R.I.P.
But still,
bike.
Shouts to the soon-to-be bike weather that's hopefully around the corner. It's not really, though. We still got some rain coming our way.
Yeah,
so.
A couple
Embrace
months.
It.
We'll be good to go by mid-February, I would guess.
Get them storm gutters cleared out, people.
No doubt. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, talking about practice, about to start. But first, a message from one of our sponsors.
This episode of Talking About Practice is made possible by Rough and Ready Lotion. When I need my hands to look like they've been working all day, Rough and Ready Lotion's what I use. Trade out those silky smooth hands for cracks and calluses. With your Rough and Ready hands, you'll be able to tell the story of a working man or woman without the actual work. When your hands are smooth, Rough and Ready is what I use. Rough and Ready Lotion. Hands for the non-working man or woman. Do not apply to the general region.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. Talking about practice, man.
That's right. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
And of course, we got our resident degenerate. If you got it, then spin it, because you can't take this money with you, Rudy Vasquez.
Yo, wait. Oh, no.
What?
No, wait. Is that? No, he's not. No, not there.
Silence.
Wow.
No.
Rudy?
No roots.
It looks like Rudy, once again, is ducking his bookie after getting beat up. Gambling on week 18 in the NFL season, unprecedented week, a week that we've really never had before, and now we do.
Thanks, Rude. We appreciate you. Your absence is noteworthy.
Yes.
And your inability to face the fire is uncanny.
Yeah, it really is.
So thank you, Rudy, for not being here right now, because we appreciate you for just being who you are.
Yes.
Yeah, a degenerate.
Stay true to you.
A degenerate, yes.
And what he is a degenerate.
Save them kneecaps.
Yeah.
Those are more important than anything.
Yeah.
Ability to walk is nice, okay?
It's much more important than the ability to do this radio.
Yes. So do what you can.
Rudy.
Stay alive.
However, if his bookie's listening and you want to hit me up and break me off for his address, I got you, bro. All right, we also have our producer extraordinaire, Stepman Brett.
Yeah!
All right, we got a lot to get into. But first, I think we do need to start with this soundbite. Because I just failed us miserably not starting the show last week with this. And for that, I am truly apologetic. So I wanted to get from you guys and see if you could hear the subtle hint of racism in this comment and point it out. And we here do not endorse racism on a systemic level, on a personal level, in any way. However, when it is comedically hilarious, we have to point it out and we have to laugh at it. So you guys listen closely and tell me if you can hear our guy Gary Hahn, the announcer for NC State, slipping a little racism here.
It's the Sun Bowl. And amongst all the illegal aliens down in El Paso, it's UCLA 14 and Pittsburgh 6. That's with 11:15.
One more time, in case you did not catch it, we'll start it from the top. He just sneaks it in there, real casually, just a casual observation of what's going on in El Paso, Texas.
It's the Sun Bowl. And amongst all the illegal aliens down in El Paso, it's UCLA 14 and Pittsburgh 6. That's with 11:15 to go in the second quarter.
Very poignant of him. Very observant.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how you do it, Kanye. Just sneak it in there. Just a quick little A.
Barely even notice unless you actually point it out.
Thank goodness we're here for that.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I like the phenomenal good stuff. Announcing voice, by the way, this Gary Hahn. He's he got does. A real future in
yeah.
here.
He sounds really nice out there. Yeah. Very soothing.
I feel like he could do the Cincinnati Reds broadcasting. I think that'd be a good spot for him.
Do you think he fit better in Kansas City?
Ooh, you know what? The Royals, yes. The Royals baseball team might be a good place for him.
All right, let's keep it moving. Let's talk week 18 in the NFL season. The reason that Rudy is out today, ducking his bookie. All right, last week as we were doing the show, the incident with DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the field due to cardiac arrest took place during the latter portion of our show. So it's been just about a week now since the incident happened. Today they announced that DeMar Hamlin is being released from the Cincinnati hospital he was staying at and is headed back home to Buffalo. And yesterday, the game started off there between the Buffalo Bills and New England Patriots in Buffalo with a kick return for a touchdown. I saw some folks comparing this to the D. Gordon moment, that beautiful moment we saw some years ago after the passing of Jose Fernandez when he switch hit and hit a home run, a guy who never hits home runs. And that is a moment that will always be etched in history for the, I would say, just the what it meant in the time, the magic of sports and all that. I saw a lot of people comparing this to that. I didn't get that. I did get the chills initially, and then I started thinking more deeply about this. But as you guys saw it, Derek, the only way I could get you to sentiment is with sports. Did you have any of those feelings of, you know, the chills or like this is like a movie or?
Not really, just because I heard about it, so I didn't witness it. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that moment. In trying to compare it to that moment with D. Gordon, I think it's I can understand it. People are very, we like to attach certain emotions to certain situations, and that was a very powerful moment when D. Gordon did hit that home run. But the thing with D. Gordon is it's far less likely for him to hit a home run than it was for Neiman Hines to run back a touchdown, I feel. So that's, I don't know. I just feel like because D. Gordon, I mean, how many has he ever hit in his entire life, you know, in his entire career, you know, and hit it on that day, in that moment, in that time. Now, don't get me wrong, what happened with Neiman Hines, I'm not trying to take away from that. That was obviously very special, especially when you think about the numbers that were behind it. There was like 3 years and 3 months since they've had their last return for a touchdown. Yeah. And that obviously is very, especially in Buffalo, too. So unfortunate for the Patriots. They were fighting for their lives, but unfortunately for them, they were fighting against a team that had multiple lives on them. And they came out swinging. We were going to beat the Bills on that day with the way that, you know, DeMar had been responding and coming around that week. All the hopefulness, the fear that we had seen, it was turning away from that fear to hopefulness, to a love, to some much bigger support that he's ever felt, which is awesome to see. how he was embraced by not just the football world, but just the world in general. In that moment, the whole world stopped for a split second, and a lot longer for Damar Hamlin. But for that moment in time, it was nice to see how, nothing else really mattered except that man and how his well-being was.
Yeah, and I would say all of that I agree with. And I think both things existed and rang true within myself when that moment happened this past weekend, was the immediate feeling of what a cool moment. Seeing Damar Hamlin tweet out OMFG, it was all very cool. But then the cold reality of the fact that this is a guy that at the time was still in the hospital. This is a guy whose career contract to this point is just over $3.5 million. So a lot of money to your average person, but I don't think any NFL player besides long snappers and kickers should be making less than $1 million. You should just chalk that up to hazard pay, and everyone gets baseline $1 million because of the nature of their sport. And I was reminded that this guy hasn't secured yet full health care from the NFL. I was reminded that he was going to have to fight to earn his year's salary because of him missing this past week's game. Buffalo, the rest of his salary was not guaranteed, and Buffalo could have slashed his salary in half. Now the players union stepped up and Buffalo is looking to do the right thing, but they still needed, this situation still had to happen, right? And we're in this situation where, it's all these wonderful things. You have the Disney movie moment of them scoring that touchdown and holding up the threes. You have one of the players giving a touchdown football to the paramedic that was on the scene, the trainer that performed the CPR and essentially saved Hamlin's life. And you have all this feel good, and I felt all that, but I also was reminded of the very grim reality that what these guys do is incredibly dangerous, it's incredibly violent, and they're all very disposable. And if this were a neck injury and we knew he wasn't on the verge of dying, if we knew that, man, his career might be over, if it was a Ryan Shazier situation, do we have this outpouring of love? And then you think about it, and it's awesome, his toy drive raised over $7 million. But he's going to need some money, right? He may never play football again. And obviously the most important thing is at least he'll be here for his family, for his friends. Like, he's still here. But at the same time, the stark reality of the nature of the sport that we love, that we watch, that these guys play is innately violent. And these guys are not compensated for the risks that they take on. He only had $160,476 guaranteed this past season. So again, just to say, it's not a lot of money for what these guys do. And so it was just like kind of a slap in the face of reality of like, this is awesome, but also this exists, right? And that was just kind of tough. But the good news is Damar Hamlin is out of the hospital, returning home, and hopefully can, not only live a full and healthy life, but at some point return to the football field. So,
yeah.
You have anything on that?
I was about to say, he also returned to the Buffalo hospital to be reevaluated the rest of this week. So,
okay.
But he's able to be home with his family, which is a huge, huge improvement, what we probably were never expecting. From
a week ago, we didn't know if he was going to make it, right?
Yeah.
And so that should be celebrated, and I don't want to poo-poo on this parade here, but I just, those are the internal things that were going on with me as I watched it in real time in that moment. Those are the things that went through my head of, man, this is such a cool moment. Man, this is the only thing that could complete this is if Damar Hamlin makes the game-winning interception in the Super Bowl at the end of the season, which most likely will not happen, even if he were healthy, right? But we don't even know when or if he will play football again. So, it was just kind of a dose of reality mixed with the fact that all the points that Derek just touched on how impactful this was, how the world seemed at least the sporting world, seem to stand still and pull behind this guy. And so rarely are we unified as a nation. And one thing we do as a nation pretty well is bounce back from tragedy. Look at 9/11, for example. We can rally behind something pretty horrific and be united. The only other time I've seen the nation this united, and I would say the world at large, was our hatred for Salt Bae on the field at the World Cup. But other than that, it's hard to get us all on the same page like that. So shouts to Damar Hamlin, but felt like I had to point out the other side of this. Let's go to making fun of Brad. So, Brad, we started last week's show with the Packers just won't go away.
Yeah.
And then they did.
Yep.
And now we're here.
Yep.
The Pack is back at home for the playoffs this year.
Well,
you had a chance to go down to Santa Clara this weekend and play the Niners, and we all know how that would have gone.
And that's the one positive. We don't have to go to lose in Santa Clara against the Niners. It's a great avoidance strategy. I like it. A little bit bad taste, but, you know, it's better than a repeat from last year.
If I had told you 5 weeks ago that the Packers are going to control their own destiny to get into the playoffs in the last week of the season at home in Lambeau against the Lions, your response is what?
What are you smoking? Can I have some? Would have been my response.
And then you get that actual reality, and you're going into last night's game thinking what?
We have a chance. Like, it is a solid chance. I mean, the Lions are a tough team to beat. They beat us earlier in the year, but this is our destiny. We've been playing so well. We're gonna go. We are going to go to the playoffs and then get beat by the Niners. That was my first thought. That was how it was going to go down. But I thought it was going to be a little bit higher scoring of a game, and I wasn't expecting as many miscues. I was expecting it to be a clean game, but dear Lord, two interceptions and what, two fumbles? I believe it was. It was terrible, terrible. And not only that, but the one thing that stood out to me, I know if we don't talk about it, I'll be shocked, is the, Quay, number 7.
Yeah.
Him pushing the athletic trainer. I'm like, not only have you pushed Stafford twice, like once before this, but also poor timing after Damar Hamlin. You're pushing a staff or a athletic trainer while he's trying to assist a player.
Yeah.
It was just a bad look all around, not only on gameplay, but also how these players acted. And it was a lot of the young guys, a lot of these rookies on both teams really had a lot of penalties that almost cost even the Lions the game.
Going into the season, Aaron Rodgers was 18-5 against the Detroit Lions. I tell any NFL fan that it's a pick 'em. You have Aaron Rodgers with the playoffs on the line, win, and you're in at home against the Lions, last game of the season. Anyone who pays any attention to football is like, yeah, I'm taking the Packers all day. And here we are. The Lions get the win. They finish with a 9-8 record.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Bay Packers finish with a losing record for the first time in a while. They missed the playoffs for the first time since 2018. And Aaron Rodgers' future,
it's going to be a hard road. I really hope to God he's not back in Green Bay.
Really?
Because we dealt with this with Brett Favre, and he's doing the same exact thing. I'm tired of it. I was tired of it back then. I'm tired of it now. And as much as I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan, I don't like this. It's a bad look on him, and it's annoying. It's a nuisance every single offseason. Just leave already at this point.
I feel like he needs to retire and just like go try to teach surfing on a beach in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know? And like not good teaching because he doesn't know how to surf. He's just so high on ayahuasca that he's just like telling everyone how to surf, and he has no idea how to surf. He's just that type of person to like think that he knows how to do something without actually having to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that would totally be just fitting before he starts sending Dick Cheney picks to some special assistant out there, you know?
For the Jets, most likely.
You know, you never know. At that point in time right now,
I mean,
history repeats itself, you know? And,
It wouldn't shock me if he goes to the Vikings or the Jets.
Or the Saints at this point. You know, never know. Sean Payton, where you at? Save him. Someone save him. I think he just needs to, like I said, just go do your ayahuasca and enjoy what
I think
little sanity
from
you
from
have
saving.
Left.
He's too far from
He saving. Has a ton of money left on his contract.
Yeah.
I think if you ask most NFL players, especially some of the higher paid ones in the league, the moment the season's over, if they're going to come back the following season, most of them would hesitate and say, I don't know. I got to think about
it. Yeah.
Your body's banged up. You just suffered a loss, right? Every team ends the season on either a loss or a missed playoffs, except the one that wins the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And most people would say, yeah, no, it's not worth it. I'm not doing that again. In the moment, I mean, Aaron Donald said that after a Super Bowl win, right? Mm-hmm. You got to understand that at that time of the year, that's often when those doubts start to creep in your mind, especially when you're someone of Aaron Rodgers' caliber and the season went as it did. Yeah. When you're used to winning MVPs and competing for championships, even though you've only won one, mm-hmm. They're always in the mix, seemingly.
But the biggest thing for me is, I believe if he had gone to preseason, he had worked out with the team, we would have gotten at least one or two more wins in the beginning of the season where we would not have been in this position in the first place. So his lack of preparation at the beginning of the year caused this point in time, and he's the only one to blame for this season.
I wouldn't say he's the only one to blame. I would say, I mean, your wide receivers were dropping balls left and right. I mean, he had a touchdown dropped yesterday, or a potential touchdown, at least a first down conversion, a big one, too.
Yes.
Aaron Jones dropped an easy walk into first down territory. Yeah, I mean,
but we put ourselves in a position where we needed those plays to happen.
That's correct.
Therefore, if we didn't have those in the beginning of the season, completely different story.
That's fair. So we'll see. A real look at me, Louie moment when he's walking off the field with his arm around Randall Cobb. Mm-hmm. Just like the emotion and telling the camera to get out of his face. Just the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever, which made me laugh. And
very on brand.
Have a little joy, because even I did not want to see the Packers for the Niners in the playoffs. I just felt like we've owned this team too long and they're due.
Was it 5-0 or 6-0?
Either like one, that. The Packers have not beat the Niners in quite a long time,
yep,
in the playoffs. And I just felt like, oh, this is a trap game. I don't like it. But now we don't have to worry about it. So moving on to Wild Card Weekend, which is too many games, if you ask me. I miss the old format. I don't think we need this many teams in, but we start with the Chargers. We start actually with the Niners at home against the Seahawks. Niners are 10-point favorites. Niners have beat the Seahawks both times they played this season. The first time they played was a long, long time ago. That's week two when Trey Lance broke his ankle. That was two starting quarterbacks ago.
The hell do the Niners get the poo-poo slot? You have the Saturday early day slot? That's such a, like,
yeah.
What is that?
And especially like? It's kind and then of a you, quote
you're followed that up with the Jags and the Chargers?
Yeah.
The Jags aren't in the early morning poo-poo slot? That's just stupid. How do you come up with the scheduling right now? The Chargers or the Jags get prime time. Now, granted, it's the Seahawks you're facing. The Seahawks don't deserve any shine whatsoever.
But it's still
whatsoever.
A quote-unquote rivalry game in a sense.
No doubt, it is. But I wonder if it was the Packers, they would have put you in the prime slot there. They would have had to, right? That's just two huge markets that they need to cover. Neither both of those markets, are the Chargers or the Jags, are big markets at all. Those are no markets.
Well, the Chargers are in a large market.
They don't count. They're not. They are a foreign squad in a unbeknownst land to them, okay?
And the Chargers do not count. Their stadium is empty in almost every single time.
They have no home games. It's been said before. They play a 0-17 schedule. It's tough for them.
Speaking of which, I want to talk about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Mark Davis, Al Davis' son, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, Chico State grad, shouts to him. Hold on. You got me? Am I turned up? All right. Shout out, Chico State grad. Came out this weekend.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When the owner of the Raiders comes out and complains about every team or every game being an away game because so many teams travel to those games, you move to Las Vegas. What did you think was going to happen? You moved from a place where you had one of the most loyal and ferocious fan bases in all of sports, period, at least all of American sports, and you left and you went to Vegas, which is a travel destination. And guess what, bud? That happens almost no matter who you are when you get a new stadium. Now, you couple that with the fact that you moved to Las Vegas. Of course, every team, when they see the Vegas Raiders on the calendar, that's the game they want to travel to that year. That Obviously.
The only loyalty Las Vegas produces is that to your local stripper.
That's correct.
Okay? That is all you get loyalty to, okay?
I feel like in your local bookie it does that time as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'll trade my bookie for a stripper any day of the week.
Yeah, do you really need a personal bookie if you're in Vegas, though?
Yeah, you just go to any sports book, the next one down the lot.
Yeah, that's your personal bookie.
The next stripper down the lot might not treat you the same way Chandra does, you know? You never know.
Yeah. And Chandra's the best. I do want to say quickly... salute to the Lions for the hook and ladder play on 3rd and 17. Ballsy play. Love to see it. Do you guys have any playoff predictions that you feel comfortable sharing, going to air with? Any Super Bowl winners, Super Bowl matchups, anything? Or are we just going to laugh at Chandra? Chandra?
No.
Chandra.
Chandra. Like chandelier.
Yeah.
Chandra.
And she just she hangs there, you know?
Yeah.
Slides, the whole thing.
You never know. There never is another one over on the other side, you know? The grass is green right where it is.
All right. All right. Good to know. Do you guys have any predictions or anything you want to share with the people? No? Okay, very good.
I mean, why are we doing predictions? We never do predictions.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
you hate it so much. It's a toss-up. Take a coin, flip it in the air, call heads and tails. Call tails, actually, and then decide from there.
Lamar Jackson's going to come back, and they're going to beat... Ravens are going to beat the Bengals. There's my prediction.
Okay. All right.
Big take. All right, fine. Cowboy fans, have some hope. You're going to beat Tom Brady.
There we go. Prediction. Right, you like that?
Yeah.
What more do you want?
Oh, my gosh. That's such good radio.
Yeah.
The people at home are so thankful for me and Brad for coming up with those predictions that they're going to take it to the bank.
Jags, they're going to beat the Chargers. There you go.
All right, guys, I get it. So you're just making fun of me at this point. No one's taking this serious. So let's do the North State update. Let's do the North State update.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. All right, y'all. Again, North State Update. And it's actually a good week for North State sports. Let's go into women's basketball. They split the weekend. They're 9-5 overall, 5-3 in conference right now. It was a little lopsided game against Cal State Dominguez Hills. They lose 50-72. But again, Cal State Dominguez Hills is one of the top teams in the CCAA. So, kind of to be expected. But great bounce back win against Cal State East Bay on Saturday, 62-55. They'll be playing against Cal Poly Pomona and Cal State San Bernardino this upcoming weekend at home. That Thursday game is at 5:30. That Saturday game is at 1 p.m. Chico State men's basketball, 7-6 overall, 5-3 in conference after a two. Give me it one more time. That is right. After going 2-2 this weekend, it was a huge weekend for the Wildcats as they beat Cal State Dominguez Hills 69-63. And they beat Cal State East Bay 59-56, both close games, and they come out victorious. They'll be playing Cal Poly Pomona and San Bernardino, 7:30 start time on Thursday, 3 o'clock start time on Saturday. Now let's go to prep basketball. As we go to the girls' side, Chico High Panthers are 15-2 overall and 1-0 in league after beating Shasta 58-44. Go to PV Girls. They are 15-3 overall. They did not have a league game, so still 0-0. And they will be playing Foothill tonight at 7:30, so in an hour and a half, they'll be playing at home. So if you're in Chico and you want to go check out some basketball, head over to Varley Gymnasium over at PV at 7:30. And then going to boys basketball, 12-4 Chico High Panthers. They get a win against Shasta. 58-46, they are 1-0 in league. And the Vikings, 15-3, they are 1-0 in league after an absolute beatdown of Red Bluff.
Beat them down!
87-32. I was there for that for half of that game. It was not pretty. It was not pretty from
the
get-go.
Explain the half of that game.
A lot of threes, a lot of defense, Red Bluff had no answers to it. It was just not pretty. I mean, they only scored 32 points. I actually found out, my parents and I went to the Fast Eddie's right after that. They actually show the game in Fast Eddie's. So they actually have it live. Oh, so cool. If you ever want to go, like, have a little bite, and great food over there at Fast Eddie's, and you want to watch a PV game, head over to Fast Eddie's.
Very cool.
Tell them Brad sent you.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to do. It's not going to do anything for you, but
I will say, shouts to Prep Basketball right now.
Yeah, they're doing great well in the North State. PV Boys will be playing Foothill today as well at 7. They're going to be at Foothill. And their next game will be at home against Enterprise Thursday the 12th and Friday the 13th for the girls basketball at 6:30 at Enterprise. So, yeah.
Excellent work, my friend.
You're welcome.
All right. Predictably, this national championship game is getting out of control, so no update there. Feel free to watch it.
Woot, woot.
I don't know if I feel better about that or not. Like, would we have been beat down by Georgia if we
won?
Probably.
But I would have liked to see.
I would have liked to try.
I would like to say it would be at least 14 to 24.
I would like to be hyped to go to the bar after
this. Like, yeah, like, give me a chance to go. Now it's like,
I'll have a beer, I guess, hang out with you guys. But hey, beyond that,
TC Dude does like being sacrificial lambs, you know? So.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
All right, this is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Dro, Derek, Statman Brad, all in the building. Woo. Want to give a shout out to you for rocking with us in this nonsense, and also a shout out to our friends over at Peterson Tree Care. Why? Because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's natural, amazing resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties, and they can be reached at 518-0924. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap up the reads for today. But let's get the people caught up on the going-ons around the world. Derek Ismecki has the news!
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Ismecki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. It's time for the news. So, we take you up to the Great North. In the good old British Columbia.
Canada.
We're going to a prison out there, because they got those two up there. Where, unfortunately for the guards over at the Fraser Valley Prison, are having issues with drugs influxing into their yard. Now, the way in which those drugs enter that yard are various and vast. From throwing, to drones, to mailing it, all of the above. But recently, one of the prison guards witnessed a new way in which they're getting drugs into the system.
Tell me about it, eh?
Good old pigeons. That's right. Carrier pigeons right now are back in action. Delivering this message of crystal meth. Yeah! One of the guards had noticed the frequency of pigeons happening in the area and was able to catch one, which contained a backpack, quote-unquote, of crystal meth. So, shouts to this pigeon for doing the dirty work.
The Heisenberger pigeons.
Right, the Heisenberg. It needs a little top hat. You know, that's what we need, a little top hat and some sunglasses. And the dude is ready for it. So, shouts to all the ingenuity that's out there and ways in which when you want to get it, you're going to get it, you know? That's one thing we know for sure. So, stay vigilant out there and stay innovative too. All of the above. Now, we move on from the good old Canadian world.
Canada.
Good old Canada. To, my goodness, where did that story just go? I'm sorry. There we go. Finally. Yes. All right. You go from Canada to kind of Canada. Good old France. Worst Canada. Actually, I take it back. France is a lovely place. I'd love to live
Canada
there.
East.
Canada East. Canada across the pond. Where a man sparked a little interest when he entered a ER with little rectal issues. And those rectal issues turned out to be a World War I bomb in which he inserted in there. Yeah, that's right. People are putting anything up there right now. My goodness, people, have some self-control. A bomb? Like, are you just like, oh, it looks like it fit up there. Let's try. Like, come on. So as he walked in there, a bomb disposal unit had to be called in and remove said item from said area. And to make sure it wasn't going to explode.
Talk about your explosive diarrhea.
Ew.
Hey, thank you. I was trying to set that up for somebody. I'm glad somebody that was needed. Could have been a testy situation. Luckily for us and for him, well, it turned out to be just a good time.
I mean, was it?
Did he get arrested?
There is no talk of him being arrested.
I think that would probably be my first question.
Yeah. There is nothing to say that my man was arrested.
Hmm.
But this is definitely a first for this ER, as they have, you know, they've said they've had many situations happen before. Apparently, you know, like I said, people have no self-control out there.
My, if you ever needed further proof that our phones are listening to us, the first thing that popped up on my phone when I opened it, newsflash, pigeon caught wearing meth-filled backpack inside BC prison yard.
There we go.
Heisenberg See? Of pigeons.
Mm. Come fly over my direction, please.
With meth?
No, not meth. No. I don't know. I'd like to try it one of these days, though. No, that's probably bad. Say no to drugs, kids.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Ugh.
Yeah.
Don't do
drugs
it at
are
all.
Bad.
So bad. So bad. That's the news, y'all.
All righty.
Hold up. Did you actually give the length and the width of this thing?
Oh, I did not. Yes, it was
two inches
wide.
Yeah.
From what I saw. Yes, 2 inches
and
wide.
8 inches long.
8 inches long, yes.
Dang.
I mean, that sounds about standard size, right? Yeah, no.
I mean,
that man put a pipe bomb up there, huh?
Yes.
Oof. All right.
Thank you.
Let's bring on our...
Class it up, please.
Yeah, let's class it up. God. All right, each week we bring in our foreign correspondent, and we bring her into the soothing sounds of Justin Bieber. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
Well, you know, we're doing all right. Everyone's.
I mean, better it's not the Christmas album, you know? Don't have to worry about it for another 11 months.
Yeah, you got about 11 months, but we're going.
I'll take it.
We're going heavy in December with Justin Bieber Christmas songs. But we bring Aaron in to cover the sports that we didn't pay enough attention to over the past weekend. This past weekend, there was a big fight in the boxing world. So, Aaron, tell us about what we missed this past weekend.
Yeah, it's been a while since we talked about boxing, so I thought it was about time. This was Gervonta Davis versus Hector Luis Garcia. They were fighting in Washington, D.C. for the WBA Lightweight Championship. Davis was actually defending his title, and he ended up winning by TKO before, like, you know, the eighth round ended. The ninth round didn't even start. They called it in Garcia's corner. It was kind of a wild ending. He landed 29 of 39 power punches in the eighth round. Garcia was literally dazed, tried to go to the wrong corner. So it was pretty interesting. Davis started pretty conservatively, but in the end, rounds 4 through 8, he landed 69 power punches. So pretty entertaining fight, you know, especially there in the last couple of rounds. Davis remains undefeated with 27 wins. Pretty impressive for this 28-year-old.
Yeah, he's a hell of a boxer. Now, he did come into some scrutiny recently with some domestic violence charges. To be clear, is it his wife or his baby mother? I'm not
literally nobody. No one. It's actually, I don't even know if it's domestic violence, because it just, I was looking at, it's like a random woman. I don't know if it's a random woman, but it was not like a partner or anything like that. At least what I was reading.
Yeah, so it's pretty unclear of what's going on in that situation, and how, and the evidence there is circumstantial at best right now, correct?
Very, yeah, okay. exactly.
Okay.
It's really a he said, she said. Unfortunately, you know, he's had some other run-ins with the law. You know, he's had some hit and runs and fleeing the scene of an accident. So hopefully he can sort these things out and start to make some better decisions, because he's supposed to be fine Ryan Garcia this April, and that's going to be a really fun fight to see.
Yeah, no, agreed there. I wanted to stay in the sporting world with you and stay on the topic of domestic abuse.
The sporting world of domestic abuse?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The sporting world and domestic violence. Right. I'm sorry. And I don't mean to laugh. I just... You know,
phrasing
was off,
yes,
to say the least. But you're a big UFC fan, and I was just curious what you made of not only the video coming out of Dana White slapping his wife a couple times on New Year's Eve, but also the coverage of it and the general, the general way it's been received by the fans of UFC.
It's really interesting because the coverage of it has been not a lot. And you think that's probably for a reason. You know, is it Dana White because he knows the right people, or is it because it's, you know, Dana White and, you know, he's white? Who knows? But the coverage has been pretty, I mean, you would think there would be a lot more outrage. There is video of him slapping his wife. Now, I'm not going to excuse domestic violence, but she did hit him first, and it's obviously, they're in a club, there's a lot of alcohol. It just feels a lot more toxic than maybe just one-way domestic abuse.
Yeah, agreed. I would say that Dana White did come out in 2014 and say the one thing you can't ever come back from is hitting a woman. And this is a organization that has been littered with domestic violence issues and just downright poor behavior issues in the past. And I'm curious because what I found interesting is the lack of coverage over this. Because if Roger Goodell did something like that, you could believe this would lead just about this would be in block A of about every sport debate show out there, and you hardly see it at all. Now, again, of course, Dana White does have a lot of friends in high places. Dana White is in business with ESPN. However, I still find it odd that it's been almost radio silence when it comes to the topic of Dana White, and we have the footage. Granted, it's not Ray Rice knocking his wife out in an elevator, but it's still pretty damning. And agreed, alcohol was involved in all that, not to make excuses. But still, I'm surprised that there's so little outrage. And usually I'm good with, like, we don't need to outrage one another if we're not that offended by something. But I did find it just a little bizarre that in this day and time, that particular instance didn't get more coverage, and I was just curious as to your thoughts on that. So,
and I wonder if it's too, you know, it's a UFC thing, right? I mean, there's the, like you said, they're sort of littered with criminals, but the lack of coverage is shocking.
But that's the confusing thing, right? Is we'll celebrate these amazing fighters and athletes when they perform well and all these things. Well, so we cover it like we do, not to the same extent, but it is covered like a major sport. But the expectations of the behavior of not only the athletes, but the commissioner in this case, the face of UFC, are not the same as they would be for an Adam Silver, a Roger Goodell, or any one of these guys, a commissioner of a major sports league. And it doesn't seem to be that way amongst the fighters themselves either. And I'm just confused why we'll celebrate them, but we don't scrutinize them with the same passion we would for some of these other sports. We treat it as a major sport in this country, but it doesn't get the same coverage.
I feel like there's enough hate out there for Dana White for, like, there should be an outrage, you know? Like, there's,
you would imagine.
Right? Yeah. Like, how is there not, like, there's tons of people that do not like Dana White and the way he handles the UFC and whatnot. I feel like that we should, it is interesting to see how, there is no real answer. We can't answer that question in terms of, we can only speculate as to why the media covers certain things the way they do, but they have their biases. We know that.
Yeah.
And apparently Dana White's on the right side of that bias.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Dana, for knowing the right people.
I feel like,
yeah, it must be nice.
I feel like it also comes down to just the beast of the actual sport itself, of just them being like primal fighters, and that's all they do. We don't expect them
but
to be.
But he's not a fighter, though. He's the head of the organization. He's the CEO. He's the suit and tie of the whole thing. And when you see him do that, it should be, like you said,
yes.
If we saw Roger Goodell doing that, the man would be tore down in an instant.
You would see a new commissioner next year.
Next day, I mean, he'd be stripped. He'd be gone that day, essentially. Yeah. Probably,
you would imagine he wouldn't be long for the.
It would. Yes. He wouldn't survive the year.
But I think it just comes down to the sport itself. Even if it is the commissioner, he's not an actual fighter.
And while we
fighter.
Do say UFC is a major sport, it is still kind of a fringe sport. Mm-hmm. You know, you still do have to buy the major events. You know, when it comes down to like the NFL and the NBA, you're not having to get pay per view to watch the Warriors versus the Celtics on a random Sunday.
That's fair.
So there is still that fringe aspect of what the UFC is.
Yeah, no.
It is so kind of...
That's a decent point.
It's HBO, essentially. It's,
sure.
You know, yeah. Nips out.
That's a decent point. Let's move on to some questions this week. Sound good? All right. I'll just go ahead with that. Sounds good.
Aaron, we're still there, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. The no response scared me. I was like, a minute.
We're like, you're the one. We need you here, okay? Without you.
I might have nodded, so my bad.
Not great for the radio audience. All right. What's up, guys and gal? I understand that Jarrow's getting married this year. Congrats to you. I wanted to pick your guys' brain, including Jarrow's, and see if I'm thinking about this along the right tracks. Okay. So, I have a wedding coming up in April, and next week we are doing the bachelor party in Miami. I live here in New York, and we're having to travel twice in the next few months. And I'm kind of worried about my cash flow. I've already agreed to go to this bachelor party, but now they're saying that they want to go out and rent a club or rent a table at a club for the bachelor party. Our resort is all-inclusive, so it doesn't make sense to me to go out. I understand that most of my friends, being that we're younger, in parentheses 27, want to go out and party and go to clubs, but I feel like it'd make more sense to just save the money and stay at the resort. I should mention that the wedding is in Puerto Rico, so twice I have to catch a flight, several hours, once out of the country, even though Puerto Rico is a territory, and I just feel a bit overwhelmed. On top of all of that, I am paying for the hotel room for me and my girlfriend to stay at because I am a gentleman. What do you think I should do? Should I talk to the guys and see if we can change the plans from going out to a nightclub and save the money and just stay at the hotel? Should I just swallow the cash and deal with it, even though I'm going to have to pinch pennies for a few weeks? Should I bail on the wedding entirely, even though I'm a member of the groom's party? I think that makes you a groomsman, sir. So what should our friend do here? We'll start with you, Aaron.
I don't think there's anything wrong with telling your friends, hey, yeah, this, you know, I don't have the coins for this. Hopefully your friends understand. You know, maybe it's a tough conversation you have to have with them, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, I can't spring it this year, guys. Especially if you're traveling for, maybe I misunderstood. Is he traveling twice for the same wedding that's not his?
Yeah. So he's going to a bachelor party in Miami in a week, and he's going down to Puerto Rico for the wedding in April.
Yeah, if you're traveling for someone else's wedding twice, I think you're all good. Just say, hey, guys, you know, this is not cheap.
Yeah, I could speak from personal experience. Going to a bachelor party when you're pinching pennies, not a good time. But also, it's a little too late. You're going to the bachelor party in a week. So if you wanted to get out of it, I think the time has come and passed. And you said you guys are 27. They're going out to a club and partying. That's what you do.
You can't keep them in the resort.
No.
That's
not
inevitable.
At that age.
No, you're going to get stir crazy. You yourself are going to want to leave the resort at some point in time, too. So don't try to deny that. I would try to say, like Aaron said, have that conversation and say, hey, guys, you know, it's tough for me right now. Maybe you do have some sympathetic friends out there who do have a little bit extra cheddar on their hand and are able to help out a lending hand. You don't want to be a charity case. But that being said, don't be afraid to have that. Don't feel shame in that. You know, we all go through those struggles in life, okay? Like, we all have the life where we're trying to live. Mm-hmm. And to say that we're all in the same equal financial playing field is stupid. So
no, and to your boy's credit, I'm going through this, and we finally decided on my bachelor party, but it was really difficult because I wanted to go to New Orleans, and then realizing the logistics behind doing so, it was going to cost my friends upwards of $1,200 to $1,500 before they had a single drink just for flight and stay. And I really tried to work around realizing not everyone. For some people, that's not a lot of money. For other friends, that is quite the sacrifice. And I didn't want to put anyone in a position where they felt that they had to go spend all this money on the front end and then still be a part of the wedding, right? That is a tough ask. And so I get where this guy's coming from, but I'm with you, Aaron. I think I would reach out to the group and just be like, hey, guys, I don't really have the cash to necessarily rent a table. Can you guys spot me and I could pay you back before the wedding? Or I could, you know, like, I don't know the relationship, but these are your core guys. That shouldn't be a problem, especially if some of them are in a pretty good financial standing.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. It really, if they're your boys, they should have that understanding, and we should all be there for your boys. And just be like, you know what? The money shouldn't matter when it comes down to those situations. You want the memories.
Right.
And like what I'm saying, don't miss out. Don't skip it. Be there for it. It's going to be fun. You're going to like it no matter what. And like, try, hopefully you can have that, you know, embrace that conversation, not embrace it, but at least have it, and like, not try to ruin the party, because that's ultimately what you want. You're there for your boy and celebrating what he's about to do. And
make sure you do it before you go. You know, don't do it as you're about to walk out
100%.
Yes.
100%. Yes. Like that text should be
right now.
Fired off.
Send the
right
text
now.
Message now, yeah. If you don't want to have the phone conversation.
Before this pod is over, text them right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally agreed. I would say, I agree on all that. We had one other quick one from last week, but I think it's still relevant. And it just reads, end an age-old debate for me. Yo, my dudes and lady, I got a quick one for you. I was talking to some friends the other day, and someone surprised me this past weekend with a Happy New Year. I said, is it still the New Year? I feel like we've moved past that. So, that's it. That's the question. How long is it appropriate to wish someone a Happy New Year?
Within the first 2 business days, you're back at work. And even the second day feels a little bit much, but maybe you don't run into everyone, so after the 5th, that's too much.
I would say if you're going to January 6th and 7th and saying Happy New Year, you're pushing your luck.
Agree.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pushing it.
I think within a week, you're okay. But if you've told me it twice, like, we're not good.
And also, on this side note, stop saying when it happened last year, when it happened in December. Say last month.
Yeah.
Do that to me.
Thank you.
Saying, oh, last year this happened. And it's like, oh, this happened like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Okay? Don't do that to me. And don't be that person either.
Agreed.
That being said, no more than 6 and 7.
That being said, Happy New Year, everybody. Aaron, excellent as always in the new year. Looking forward to a fun year of shows with you. And we will catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, guys.
Later, Aaron. All right. I got to get a player haters ball off my chest, if that's all right with you boys.
That works for me.
All right. Oh, I should have some volume.
Hey, 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 hey. Why you wanna play hate on me?
Oh, I hate to do this one. I hate to hate on this guy. He gets enough of it. But LeBron James, for all your insane accomplishments, for delivering on a promise that you made 20 years ago when you said you were the chosen one and you tatted it on your back. For all the... Yeah, I mean, he's just lived up to everything we thought he could be, which is super, super rare. And in fact, this season, what he's doing is absolutely bonkers. Let me just give you a stat before I go into Hayton. Players in their 20th season to average the most points. We'll start with Vince Carter in his 2017-2018 season, averaged 5.4. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 88-89, 10.1. Dirk Nowitzki, 2017-18, 12. And the second leading scorer in their 20th season all-time, Lakers great, the one, the only, the Mamba, Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, at 17.6 in the 2015-2016 season, when he was the same age as LeBron James, who's averaging 29.1, which is unreal. Shouts to him. Salute to him. That's incredible. What's not incredible is the passive aggressiveness, and I understand why Derek is so annoyed to have this legendary player representing the Lakers when he comes out and says, y'all know what the F should be happening in regards to the Lakers and them not making moves. When this is the guy who is solely responsible for bringing Russell Westbrook there. Time and time again, he has made terrible player personnel moves. For example, bringing Anthony Davis in a year before he hit free agency. He could have simply hit free agency. You wouldn't have had to trade all those players for him. Ingram could still have been on the team or a trade, an asset to trade later. And instead, you traded the entire squad for Anthony Davis, aka Street Clothes, who, yes, helped them win a championship in a bubble, a championship nonetheless, but now has barely played at all last season, is out again for weeks on end. And these were all decisions made by LeBron James. He wanted to bring Westbrook in there, and it's failed miserably, and now he wants the organization to go clean up his poor player personnel decisions. And I get it. I get it if you're a Lakers fan. I get it, Derek. I get where you and Rudy are coming from when you get annoyed with this guy. It's like, you are great. You are spectacular to watch. But the passive aggressiveness and the zero accountability when you are the guy who brought these players in and they haven't performed up to your standards, that's on you. And now you're making all these comments, and guess what's going to happen? The Lakers are going to probably appease him and trade that 26-27 draft pick and mortgage their future to try and win right now, to try and make a play-in game, get a Buddy Hield perhaps. And guess what? When LeBron's son, Bronny, is in the draft and the Lakers can't go and grab him, he's going to be pissed off then too, and they're going to trade away the draft picks they could go get him. Get Bronny with right now because they're going to mortgage their future to win now. And again, I don't think the move is out there to make them win now.
You know it's bad when you'd rather have LeVar Ball than LeBron James.
Ugh.
I'll take back that whole headache again over having to have to deal with the prima donna that is LeBron James. Because again, at least with the balls, you knew they weren't great. They were just kind of fluffing it around. LeBron is great. He doesn't need to do this.
Yeah.
The balls needed to do that to stay relevant.
Yeah.
LeBron does not need to do this. It's so unnecessary. And I'm glad you're finally seeing it my way. And it's just something I have, had to live with for the past however long he's been with the Lakers. And I don't like to think about when it started because it's just like, ugh. You know? And I cannot wait until he moves on to the team that does draft Bronny James so he can move on from him. And again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's still the greatest player I've ever seen with my eyes. And I will say again, he's probably the best player. He's fantastic. I'm not denying his greatness. But his passive aggressiveness is the antithesis of what made me love the Lakers, and that was Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, no, agreed. Let's put an end to it.
Please.
Speaking of putting an end to it, that's going to do it for us here. Talking about practice, you can check in with us on the pod. Make sure you go follow us on Instagram. TVP, not a game, but we got playoff football coming up this weekend. So obviously we're going to cover all of that next week. But in the meantime, it's been real, y'all.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Next up, the show.
Here it is.
Here it is.
from deep inside your audio device of choice.
Very sort of experimental, almost avant-garde-ish kind of TV mini-series was served up to us this week here in the United States. Every night, same locale, same people gather to go through the same thing, a vote. Point of the vote was really beside the point. The point was they kept